Hey, Rebels. I want you to take a moment to imagine living in a world where cars haven't been invented yet. There's no gas stations, no highways. Everything we take for granted in a world defined by automobiles isn't there. What does that world look like? What are the steps you would need to take to create an auto industry? How do you develop the workforce? How do you get the skills into the hands of the people who are going to help you make cars? It's a monumental task. And how hard was it for people to imagine something that never once was? Now, let's think about the internet as an industry, tech as an industry. It didn't exist 30 years ago the way it does now. We're still figuring it out. We see some regions in the world, like Silicon Valley, where tech culture and tech jobs have flourished. But I don't think anyone would mistakenly say we're at the end of the internet and it's going to look this way and never change. I don't think anyone's arguing that it's a settled debate on what's coming up on the horizon. The jobs that we're training for today probably won't exist. We're going to have all new jobs that we haven't even imagined yet. What I'm getting at is there are people here in our province who believe we should be building a tech industry here, developing a workforce, a Silicon Prairie of sorts, to carve out a piece of that industry for ourselves, creating new jobs and building and inventing things we haven't even imagined yet. And one of those groups working towards that vision is Sask Interactive. And Thomas Archer is joining me today to help us wrap our heads around his vision of a Silicon Prairie. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Well, hey, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
So before we get too far into the tech stuff, let's drink some beer.
Yeah, definitely.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's pretty nice.
So this one is called Cascadian Dark Ale, and it's by Nokomis Brewing.
Nice.
6.5% ABV. And I don't know how many people have had a beer like this, but it's something unique and special, and I think it's really exciting that Nokomis is brewing it.
It's pretty nice. I mean, obviously the listeners can't see it, but hopefully they will get to soon. It's a nice dark color, and it's actually got a really nice taste and aftertaste. And you asked me before if I'm like a beer geek. I don't know if I'm a beer geek, but I drink beer. So this is awesome. I like it.
What are you thinking and feeling when you take a sip here?
I guess probably the first thing that comes to mind is it's kind of nice and rich and full. But not filling to the point of, you know, drink half the beer and then you feel full. This is, it's nice. It's got that sort of, I don't know, woody taste to it maybe a little bit. I don't know if that's how to describe it, but it's good. I like it.
I find it to be a interesting, complex combination of both hops, but dark roasted malts. When I lift it up, you can't really see through it. It's black, right?
No, it's great.
So we know he used roasted or chocolate dark malt to make it, which is something that appeals to me as a coffee drinker.
Yep. No, me too. I mean, I probably drink more cups of coffee than I should per day. So yeah, you're right. That is definitely, it's got a really nice color to it. Really rich.
And it smells kind of nice. I think when you said woody, I was thinking piney.
Okay.
From the hops.
That works. Yeah. I like that too.
Maybe resinous.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. No, it's awesome.
This one, it also is kind of the subject of a bit of a debate or a dispute in the craft beer world.
Do you say?
There are people advocating for a brand of beer or a style of beer called Cascadian Dark Ales.
Okay.
And then there are other people who are saying, you guys are just fussy, just call it a black IPA. It's a black IPA and don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about the debate, but it tastes great.
One of the things I can tell you is the first time I had a black IPA was at one of my favorite breweries in New Glarus in Wisconsin.
Oh, cool.
New Glarus is a fantastic brewery that's known for its Spotted Cow beer.
Yep.
But they had a blacktop IPA. And as soon as I tasted this, I was like, oh, it's just coming back to me. That's a blacktop IPA, which has won tons of medals.
That was great.
I actually think I prefer this to the blacktop.
Really? It is nice. Actually, I like it. I like IPAs. And this is kind of a nice, like I said, it's a really nice, rich taste, but not overwhelming. So I think it's nice that way. Like some people, I think with their IPAs, they find the taste a little strong. But no, I really like it. It's good.
Smooth.
Very smooth. Very.
I dig it.
Yeah,
me Jeff too. Really knocked it out of the park with this one.
It's nice. Yeah.
Tell me, what is Sask Interactive and what do you do?
Sure. Well, that's probably the easy part. Yeah, I guess Sask Interactive, it's kind of short for the Saskatchewan Interactive Media Association. But we just go by Sask Interactive. It's a little bit easier to say. And so basically what we do is we're an industry association, provincial association, that kind of represents people who are like web designers and developers and programmers and digital storytellers. Maybe they work in more the creative side, like the graphic design, game developers, app developers. They might work for agencies. They might work in virtual reality or augmented reality, create those type of products. And what we do is we work a lot behind the scenes. We advocate for the industry. We try to promote the industry in the province and outside the province as well. Try to connect with the business community here in Saskatchewan and elsewhere. We sit on a bunch of national committees and boards as well. So what we try to do is make Saskatchewan known for having the talent that we do, because we have a lot of great talent here, especially in people who produce this type of products, especially in tech and in interactive media itself. So we sort of represent that industry in whatever way we can. We might provide workshops and some education, some networking opportunities, and we collaborate with a lot of different organizations in order to spread the word and to sort of help, I guess, advocate for the industry to make it better.
What's the vision? What's the end game?
Oh, the vision, I guess, is, we want to see Saskatchewan and Saskatchewan talent and products recognized. Not just within our own province. I mean, we sometimes, in Saskatchewan, we don't toot our own horn enough, and I think we need to, and you guys Rebellion are doing a great job too in doing that. And I think, you know, what we want to see is, we want to see the economic growth. I mean, tech is sort of an industry, I think, in Saskatchewan that can sort of become the fourth pillar of the economy here. It's got a lot of great growth potential. Typically, we've concentrated as a province, we concentrate on things like agriculture, mining, oil and gas as kind of the pillars of the economy. And we see tech as sort of the fourth pillar. And I think it makes sense too, because, I mean, if you look at all those industries and a lot of other ones, especially in things like ag tech, we have in Saskatchewan a company called Dot that's making autonomous agricultural products, which is awesome.
What does that mean?
Well, that means they basically drive themselves. Like, I mean, they're making products that, I hope listeners go and take a look for it, but it's products that actually will, they would typically integrate with other machinery. And so as an example, I guess John Deere, for instance, they're looking at using cameras and AI to dole out herbicide even more precisely, so it'll help, you know, with the product getting to the field not be as expensive, or maybe not overspray and that type of thing that might happen. Dot is actually making equipment where you can integrate it into other pieces of equipment, and that will actually help itself drive. So you can create sort of the map of the field you're going to use in their particular case. And I'm not advocating for their product. I think it's a great product. But they'll actually, you can map it out, and then, you know, while the farmer is doing other things that are probably just as important or more important, this thing can drive around the field and probably do seeding and spraying and all sorts of things, and probably be a little bit more efficient too at it. And so there's things like that. So very similar to autonomous cars where they drive themselves, this is autonomous farm equipment. So that's just one piece of tech in Saskatchewan. There's a lot going on. We have some members that are doing some great work in the healthcare industry, creating virtual reality products, where they can take things like an MRI or an X-ray, and they can make it, you can put on a digital headset, a VR headset, and you can actually see everything in 3D, and you can reach in, sort of like Iron Man. You can kind of reach in and grab things and move it around and take a look at inside the MRI and inside the X-ray even deeper, and you can look for things. So, you know, there's some awesome products. And then we got people who are creating apps in all different forms and games. There's some, the game community is actually building bigger in Saskatchewan. So the game development, we got like Noodle Cake up in Saskatoon, which has actually done really well with their mobile video games, like Stickman and a number of other products that they publish. So they're really well known globally. And some of them are getting, you know, more VC, like more capital investment. Some of them are selling parts of their companies and making money. So there's some really interesting and wonderful things happening. There's incubators that have popped up, some that are kind of like collabs, which sort of government one that's up in Saskatoon, and we got Connexus opening theirs here, the Cultivator. So there's some great things happening sort of in the tech scene, and I think we have a great opportunity to sort of build the tech scene here in Saskatchewan and sort of become that fourth pillar of the economy.
You touched on it a little bit.
Yep.
You want to be the fourth pillar of economy, but for the uninitiated, mm-hmm. why does this matter?
Well, I think probably everyone can agree that we are living in a digital society. I think, you know, this is pretty much, we're becoming a digital economy, you know, as we sit here and speak. You know, I think here's a stat. So the World Economic Forum, for instance, basically stated that by the year 2022, which is not far away, 60% of the global GDP will be digitized. So, I mean, that's over half, you know, the economy globally. And I think right now in 2018, I think they've stated that there's like $1.2 trillion has already been spent by companies on digital transformation. So I don't think it's a small thing. It affects just about every single industry that's out there, from, you know, from retail to farming to like in the agricultural industry to financial to like you name it. Tell me, you know, an organization that probably doesn't have something that's computerized or got some sort of piece of tech that's involved. I'm sure probably even in the production of Rebellion products, I'm sure there's some digitization.
We have a lot of testing on the back end. I know there are some breweries that are bigger that have fully automated systems.
Oh, wow.
They type the recipe into the computer and just boom, it goes.
Yeah. You guys are a bit more organic, though.
We're a bit more hands-on. We're climbing in the tanks, cleaning the tanks out by hand.
That's awesome.
I think, hopefully, moving into the future, we can add more automation as we go.
Yeah, and I think that's another big thing, too. People are a little bit scared of the automation side of things. You know, and there's lots of talk around that, about people losing jobs in certain industries. But I think, again, you know, going back to organizations like the World Economic Forum and the job futures, I think there will be some maybe jobs lost in some areas that things like AI, like artificial intelligence, will take over. But then there's a whole ton of other jobs that are going to be more sort of in the creative sector. I mean, AI right now can't really do creative endeavors that well. It can do sort of that machine learning and it can think in certain ways. But I think, you know, some of the big skills that are going to be taking place in terms of job futures in the next couple of years are going to be things like critical thinking, creativity, people management, emotional intelligence is also going to be sort of a big key skill that people are going to have. Negotiation.
Not something that tech guys have traditionally been strong at.
No. But I mean, in terms of, I mean, those are some of the skills, right? Like cognitive type of skills. But in terms of the actual jobs, it'll be people like data analysts and scientists, right? AI and machine learning specialists, because someone still has to maintain all that. Be general and operations managers, sales and marketing professionals. Like, those are still jobs that are going to be there. Digital transformation specialists, new technology specialists, those kind of things, and IT specialists in general. So there's still going to be a lot of jobs for humans to do.
Is it accurate to say it's not whether you will be participating in the digital economy, but whether you'll be doing it well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's just, yeah, you can't avoid it.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably stating that, you will be doing something. I think you have no choice but to do something within the digital economy. Especially if you're a company or a business, what that looks like and how that's going to, you know, affect your particular company, I guess that's up to you in the long run. I know that, you know, change is difficult, but in this particular case, change is also a great opportunity, I think, too. So, and I think more companies can participate in the global market more effectively, too. And I think in Saskatchewan, we have an even greater opportunity. So,
what are some of the barriers that we need to overcome right now to wrap our heads around this?
In terms of barriers, I don't know that there's really any particular barrier. I think the biggest thing is you need that desire to succeed. I guess if there's anything, it's probably that as a province, we have to realize that we are going to be competing with other jurisdictions and other provinces as well. And I think we just have to make sure that we're sort of getting ahead of that game, and at least keeping in the mindset of moving forward towards that. And that probably means things like investing more in youth education, so in the education system, but also in reskilling and upskilling jobs. So I think, you know, companies here have to realize that there's going to be a lot of upskilling and reskilling of different types of jobs. So, and what that looks like, you know, I probably don't know the complete picture, obviously, but I would say start investing in not only the digital technology, but the professional development that goes behind it too. So get your workers sort of invested in new technologies as much as you can, whatever that looks like for your industry or for your business. So.
I'm just thinking of, we're planting the seeds now for the trees that come tomorrow. My little guy's in engineering camp. He's got toy circuit boards. Like he just loves everything with a screen, everything electronic.
Yeah, I think especially kids now. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she can probably outmaneuver me on, you know, on her iPhone and iPad and computer to a certain degree. I think the kids are really learning digital literacy, and they're growing up with it. You know, for my generation, which is a little bit before that, obviously, you know, computers were just up and coming. Internet was just sort of coming into place. And we grew up kind of on that, the beginning side of it. We wasn't necessarily invested in our everyday lives at that time. But I think, you know, for my daughter, for instance, she's growing up with it pretty much from birth. I mean, it was sort of already there, right? And that's all going to continue to grow too, I think, the tool. So they're sort of really kind of already on their way to understanding it and its use. But I think we still have to, you know, teach them the digital literacy, you know, the cybersecurity pieces, all those kind of things that are going to come along with it. So I think the youth of today or tomorrow is going to be well prepared, but I think we still need to teach them the skills in order to integrate it into their job and how it works too, right? So we're becoming that digital society. So not just the digital economy, but now we're going to be the digital society. So
I was talking with one of my buddies, and I told him you guys were coming on the show, and he's obsessed with AI.
Good.
He's convinced the singularity is going to happen, and that's the end of humanity. And he's like, sign me up, plug me in, I'm Neo.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever blue sky about the singularity or AI?
Oh, I mean, within our office, yeah, we talk about that fair bit. I mean, there's lots of different ways of thinking about that, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's sort of the bleak future look, I guess, is, hey, what if AI takes over our everyday lives? I don't know that it will, at least not in the near future. I can't predict beyond my lifetime or my daughter's lifetime, but I think probably in the next, in the next few decades, it's definitely going to become a thing. But I think that's going to, well, actually, I heard another kind of interesting piece that I kind of heard about was, we're going through this fourth industrial revolution, is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in that more digital age. And I think after that, even, they're calling it, so this is sort of our industrial society, like our digital society. So after that, they predict, I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but they're predicting sort of more of a imagination society. So utilizing the AIs might be doing the work, they might be doing that, but they won't necessarily be problem solving in the creative way. So using a lot of different creativity for problem solving, but using AI as a tool. So I think right now AI is going to be the tool. It's not going to be the overlord. Who knows, like 100 years from now.
That's a very generous assessment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people, like I say, it kind of goes back to that whole automation topic we talked about earlier too, is, you know, there are some people who, you know, who fear that sort of automation side, but that automation happened in the Industrial Revolution as well. And jobs did shift, and I think jobs will shift again. So I think, again, going back to us as a province sort of planning for the future and sort of getting that education in our youth and reskilling our workforce and upskilling the people that we have, I think that's, you know, if we start in that mindset and start creating some of that policy around it and start creating the education around it at all different levels, then I think we've got a good head start. Or at least we got a great opportunity anyways.
What you're saying reminded me of a common story that I'd heard where it said, should we really protect the candle makers because the guys who invented the light bulb are coming along, or should we just help the candle makers shift over to helping make light bulbs?
Well, and that's a good point. I think there's still some candle makers, but more probably in the craft side. But yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think that's probably true too. So, I mean, those people didn't, you know, humanity didn't die out because we shifted from candles to incandescent lighting, right? At least not that I'm aware of.
So if people want to find more information about Sask Interactive, maybe they're in the digital economy already and they want to get plugged into you guys, how do they do that?
Probably the easiest thing to do is just go to our website, which is just saskinteractive.com. You know, we have Facebook, Twitter, we have all the social media. But probably the easiest thing to start at our website and then go from there. And if they want to reach out, contact us if they have any questions. We're really good at connecting businesses to other businesses. So if, you know, we get calls quite often about a company who's looking to build an app and they want to know more about it and who should they go see. So we'll point them in those directions to our membership. Same thing if they have any interest in learning more about the industry, we'll definitely help educate in any workshops. And actually we do a monthly thing, look on our Facebook page as well. We do a monthly meetup actually at Rebellion called Peers and Pints. And anyone is welcome. They can come and kind of talk with whoever our members that show up, and they can tell them all about what they do, and they can share ideas, they can collaborate, or if they just want to know, you know, who makes apps, who makes games, who makes whatever in the digital realm, then yeah, they can come and meet these people and talk and learn more about it. So.
Well, Thomas, thank you for your time.
And drink dark beer. Hey, no problem.
Exactly. Rebels, thanks for tuning in this week. If you want to find the latest news about Rebellion Brewing, be sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.